Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be rebroadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching iTunes for Radio Le Mans or visiting radiolemans.com.
So, Jeremy, where's your money then? The Acuras look strong, but I mean, they've got a gap first to second of 14 seconds again now. And Ricky Taylor has really got the hammer down. Juan Montoya sits in second with 2 seconds over Harry Tinknell. But it's not done here. Anything can still happen. And a bit of traffic, as we've seen, can trim 4 seconds off that very easily indeed.
Yeah, true. But he's certainly in imperious form at the moment, as Ricky Taylor. He was inspired, I think, yesterday by Elio Castroneves. Is his magnificent run to pole position, and Ricky Taylor, having taken the lead from his teammate, has now pulled away pretty rapidly. And one Pablo Montoya has got nothing to hold to Ricky Taylor. He's extending that lead. It's going out by now, a second a lap actually, each of the last 3 laps. So it's out to over 14 seconds between first and second. This is looking very, very good for that Acura Team Penske team. Here, though, is a leader in GTD onto the pit lane for who will be his final pit stop.
Yeah, and this is a stop that is putting them in the window. The window is now open for the final stops for GTD, Shea, and the 86 Acura taking full advantage of that. What's going on at the pit stop?
New tires and 108 litres. Well, that's the max capacity. I'm not going to say 108 litres of fuel going in because I don't actually know. But it was a stop that was timed to exactly how long they needed to make it to the end. Further back, the Ferrari was in getting a possible 100 litres of fuel. I guess I'll say it that way with an asterisk. And, that Finnish driver, Tony Vallander, is going to take it to the end. So that's not too bad there. We are still waiting for the Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini, where it should be Brian Sellers getting in. For the 16 Wright Motorsports Porsche, which it should be Patrick Long getting in. And yeah, doesn't that just whet your appetite for some amazing drivers? Okay, here's Paul Miller coming in. So this is the Lamborghini. Is he followed in by Jan Halen? No, he's not. Yeah. No, he was in the lead, John. He came in,
yes,
and Halen didn't.
Second before the pit stops is what I should have said. So Jan Halen stayed out and takes the lead of GTD. And the choice for him now is, does he go another 5, 6, 7 laps, which is probably what he can do because we started under safety car on this stint, or does he have to cover off the guys that have already stopped? Meantime, at Paul Miller Racing, the red, white, and black car gets the following service. Yeah.
Waiting on the driver change to finish. The door goes closed, but they are still not losing time because the fuel probe is still attached. So the Lamborghini taking full service. Also into the pit lane, the number 12 Lexus from Amvaster Sullivan. Townsend Bell should not be getting out of that car, but he is getting a new drinks bottle, so he has earned that. They might be checking the radio plug while he's in too, just to try and see if they can help him hear any better. Fuel and tires for the Lexus, and those are sticker tires. As also into the pit lane, the 25 BMW, the 3 Corvette, both in. And
really?
What did you see, John?
No.
Yeah, they both came in. It's a little bit early, but Connor DiFilippi takes back over the BMW. No surprise about that. He has been super fast here all weekend. The winner of this race in 2017 in the GTD category, as a matter of fact. And Jordan Taylor in for the 3 Corvette. I would expect that to be Antonio Garcia taking over. And there was a new set of Michelins up on the wall for Antonio, too. They saved one for him. When the Porsche comes in from the lead of the race, that will be the 911. And Fred McAvecky will hand over to Nick Tandy, who has been en fuego this weekend as far as driving around Road Atlanta is concerned. And it is Antonio Garcia going in the 3. Glad to see that my reasoning was validated. Tommy Milner still out on track, as is John Edwards. Not sure I'd pull either of them out of the cars, to be perfectly honest. Jan Halen owes us a pit stop, but as they cycle back out on the track, the Acura did get back ahead of the Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini.
Right.
This is going to be a fun finish.
Yeah, I said earlier on, get the popcorn. I think we've gone beyond that, Jeremy, at the moment. Those GT Le Mans stops, 55 minutes to go. That's interesting. The 911, I reckon they've got probably 43 or 44 laps to go under full green conditions. The only one of the GT Le Mans cars who've gone that far is the Porsche under full green. And that, so this is interesting. Very interesting indeed. It might be a bit touch and go for some of those stoppers. The 911 has got to come in now to cover off those cars that have stopped, Jeremy, but they're well in their window at the moment. They're the only ones who've been anywhere close to an hour in GTLM under full green conditions. And we mentioned that earlier on. That's Tandy getting back in the 911. BMW number 24 is in as well. John Edwards brought that car in. Good couple of stints from Fred McAvecky, Jeremy, in that 911. Pulled out a little bit of a gap there before they've all pitted.
Yeah, but we'll have to see when he gets back out on the racetrack, because the number four car has not yet pitted. So Tommy Milner has stayed out a lap longer than everybody else. So he's certainly going to be in good shape towards the end of this race. And he was on the back end of that train of cars before this round of pit stops. The number 16 car has just made its pit stop for Wright Motorsports, or is making its pit stops right now. For the GTD leader, and Jan Halen, the lap before coming into the pits, he just turned a 121.2, I think it was, which is about 0.3 slower than his fastest lap of the race on old tyres. Good job by Jan Halen. We'll have to see where he comes out after this round of pit stops.
I'll be honest with you, I think the Corvette needs that extra lap, Jeremy. They've done a 41 lap stint, but there was a lap of yellow flag in that, and that's going to be right where they are. The Corvette that stopped a wee bit earlier, the number three car for Garcia, this could be Daytona all over again. There was a couple of laps difference at that race, if you remember, the sprint race on the 4th of July weekend. Couple of laps difference in fuel, and that made a huge difference at the last yawning moments of the race. If we go full green from here, I reckon it's advantage Porsche, because the 911 of Nick Tandy. Tandy was massively quick and still did 44 laps on a full green flag stint, and that'll easily take him to the end. So he can turn the wick right up and go for it. This is still, again, it's split up for the moment, but this is still by no means over. These cars are going to come back together. At the front of the field, they're all gathering, and there's a new second place, by the way, as Ticknell's now got by Juan Montoya. And he's not closing down on Ricky Taylor, who's literally set off at a cracking pace, but he's dropped Montoya by 1.7 seconds. And Ryan Briscoe will be the next car to try and drag up to the back. A very slow lap last time around by Montoya, a 1.13.8, whilst those around him did a 10.7 and an 11.7. Here comes the leader then. In GT Le Mans, this will be the last pit stop for the Tommy Milner car. Jeremy.
Yeah, and the last of the GTLM cars to come onto the pit lane. So a good job of saving fuel, a little bit of fuel there for Tommy Milner. And they'll take a tear off the windscreen as well to make sure he has perfect vision for the remaining 51 minutes of this race. That's no problem at all for him to get to the finish from there. This is going to be a flat-out battle, isn't it? Once again in GTLM. In fact, after that round of pit stops, the number 25 BMW has come out ahead of the number 911 Porsche, which is in second place. Right behind him is the number 24 BMW as well.
Yeah, by 3 seconds, Jeremy. That's not even close in the terms that we've been looking at and the differentials that we've been talking about in GTLM today. Just a note from race control, Townsend Bell warned for blocking in the number 12 in Vassar Sullivan Lexus. So he's going to have to be a little bit careful. He has been fighting a bit of a rear guard action with that car. The remaining Lexus, as we said, remember, Richard Westbrook has taken out the number 11 Lamborghini Huracan for its run to the flag, although he's a couple of laps away from the leaders in class. So it's Farmbacker versus Sellers, and at the moment that's a bit of an unequal task, as well. Actually, last time around Brian took a few tenths out of him, but it's now 13 seconds the lead in GTD, and from second to third it's Sellers versus Long versus Wielander. That's another one you'd pay money to see. Meantime, BMW going past the 911. That was Jesse Kron just dragging past Nick Tandy as if he was chained to a post. What's
no, Connor?
Was that Connor? That was Connor. Sorry,
that
go
was
ahead,
when
Jen.
Nick was leaving the pit lane and Connor was already on his flying lap. That was the pass that
was made. Yes, of course it was.
Yeah, number 25 comes in the lap earlier. That's
correct.
Right.
Yes, exactly right. And that's why Tandy's come out in what is now third position.
Yeah.
So it's BMW, Chevrolet, and Porsche. Corvette not out of the running for another victory on this amazing Corvette roll. So at the front of the field then, Ricky Taylor with one pit stop to go, and he can come to the pit lane, I would say, any time in the next 12 minutes to get him home.
No, after 12 minutes.
Sorry, yes, after the 12 minutes. Yes, Jeremy, absolutely right. I misspoke there.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, the guy who's really flying at the moment is Harry Tinkler, number 55. Mazda, having finally got past Juan Pablo Montoya, left him for dead. He's pulled away 7 seconds in three laps, has Harry Tinknell. So number 55 guy up to second place. The deficit to the leader is down to 12 seconds.
It was 14 the last time I mentioned it.
Yes, it was.
And just to note as well that Ryan Briscoe is not hanging about either. And he's, just to underline, maybe there's a problem with that number 6 car, because Montoya's not getting the pace out of it. He's back down to a 10.7 this time around, but that lap time is up and down a lot more than the cars around him, and it's now under 2 seconds for the third place on the podium. And Ryan Briscoe for Wayne Taylor Racing, the Cunningham and Alta Cadillac, is right there with him now, under 2 seconds. The gap. Meantime, the leader, a second or two ago, making a mistake. There was a mistake down at 10B that allowed a couple of GT Le Mans cars to go through. That was Nick Tandy back, and Jesse Cron, who are having the battle. So just a little bit too deep on the brakes then for Ricky Taylor. That means that they've brought the lead down another four seconds, near enough. It's under 8 seconds now, Jeremy. This is on.
Yeah, absolutely it is, yeah. Yeah, that was a big mistake there from Ricky Taylor, with potentially big consequences, because Harry Tinkler is absolutely flying in the car. He's going to get that same traffic, of course, that Ricky Taylor had, but we'll see how he can get through it. But the gap now down to less than 8 seconds. It was 14, almost 15 by the time he finally got past Juan Pablo Montoya into second position.
Nick Tandy's lost third position. Cron has gone through. So that's down to fourth for Tandy. That car was in the lead before the final pit stops. But are they playing a longer game, saving some tyres for the end? There's not big gaps there. And we have seen what can happen. But he can't afford to drop much further back now. He was half a second slower than the BMW. Yeah, that's what I've just said, Jeremy. Yeah, absolutely. He's down to fourth now. And as I say, when Bakovecki brought that car in for its last pit stop, that was the lead car in class. But Tandy's a canny driver. He's played the long game in the past. And I just wonder if they're bringing their Michelin tyres up to temperature and pressure in a slightly different way. We mention it always in qualifying, Jeremy. It's just as important in the early laps of the race as well.
It is, and we talked about, just going back to the leader for a moment, John, we talked about the traffic. It has just been hit by Harry Tinkler, because all of a sudden his last lap was a 1 minute 15.0.
Oh, wow.
That gap is right back out again to over 12 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. So that's even worse from Tinks. Meantime, the battle.
Second place.
Yes, in GT Daytona. Mid-engined Lamborghini against rear-engine Porsche. Brian Sellers against Jan Heerlen. Two really experienced drivers at the absolute peak of their powers, still having been around the sport for a very long time. And in terms of how competitive they are, how far do you want to turn the button up to? Because if there's something more than 11th, these two are that competitive. It's Pat Long, excuse me, who took over from Jan Heerlen. However, everything that I've just said applies just as much to Pat. These two have known each other for a long time. They've raced against each other for a very long time indeed. Farnbacher leads in the 86 pink and black Acura, the Auto Nation car, and he's got a handy lead now, although it has been trimmed back just a little bit. It was over at 12 seconds. It's down to 9.5 now, but I'm pretty certain that's Mario just reining himself back in. He did a 22.1 last time against a 21.4 for the two chasing cars who are spurring each other's on. And they are they are catching him as they're battling. They're not at the moment slowing each other down at all.
No, you're right, John. The gap before the pit stops was about 7 seconds from Farnbacher back to that battle for second between the number 48 and number 16. So, as you say, last time around, it was just over 9 seconds. A second or so, well, that can you can easily lose or gain that by going through traffic. So, once again, three cars now running pretty similar pace into the final, 45 minutes now of this six-hour race.
Yeah, what was interesting was Mario Farnbacher took a huge amount of time out of both the Lamborghini and the 16 right motorsport Porsche in the pit stops. He took 6 seconds, 6 and 7 seconds out of them in the pit stops, and that's why the lead straight after the pit stops went up to nearly 14 seconds. It's down to 9.5 now. I wonder, remember back, dear listener and viewer, well, Porsche keys the race, we talked about track position, and I just wonder if they've traded a little bit of track position for Mario Farnbacher against putting too much fuel in the car, and he might just have to be having a tiny bit of fuel saving now to get the numbers down. He's still got 42 minutes to go. There's no point in trying to fuel save when you've only got 4-5 laps left in the race. Maybe they're just reining him back a little bit now. This is speculation here, but Mayashank Racing, very, very experienced crew, and they wouldn't have wanted to lose any positions in the pit lane. So maybe just a couple of laps where he's going to have to take it easy until the fuel number gets down. What will be interesting to see is just how close those guys get to him before he has to pick up his pace again. They've taken another nearly a second out of him. That last lap, it's down to eight seconds, nearly 8 seconds exactly now, Jeremy.
Yeah, but again, that 1 second or so here and there, you're going to lose and gain that through traffic. So, like I said, before the round of pit stops, the gap between them was 7 seconds. So it hasn't really changed that much. But this battle for second is certainly ongoing and closing in on them, I think, is actually Tony Wielander. Well, he's about 2 seconds back.
Oh, that is,
that
he has closed
position.
In.
He's closer,
yeah.
He's closer than he was before the pit stop. About four laps ago, the gap was 1.7. back to Wielander. Again, that's pretty constant there. I mean, look, the pace of these GTD cars is so close. It's just incredible to have all these different manufacturers. The order at the moment is Acura, Lamborghini, Porsche, Ferrari, Mercedes, Lexus, Aston Martin. What's that? Seven different manufacturers, isn't it? In the top seven positions in that class, and all on the lead lap.
Roman De Angelis has got into the 23 Harter Racing team. He needed 30 minutes of track time, as Shea Adam, our VP Racing Fuel pit reporter, told us. So Roman, the latest recruit to the Heart of Racing team. Well, I suppose you could say him and the Aston Martin are the two latest recruits. He's in to finish the end of the race. A nice tie-up as well with the New Zealand Drift champion, Darren Kelly, as well, and the awesome R32 GTR for a bit more spectacular motor racing for Harter Racing. Hey, I noticed that as well recently.
How about this, John? Tommy Milner in the second place Corvette in GTLM. He's just set the fastest lap of the race in GTLM, a 117.3. Conor De Filippi had a little bit of traffic on that last lap. He was a 118.2, so he pulled up a whole second on him on that last lap. And now 2.5 seconds between first and second in GTLM.
Getting down to the money laps here, Jeremy, at the front of the field
indeed.
Now.
And what I was going to say, I would expect number 31 car to make it won't be its final stop, actually, but at any moment now, unless he can stretch it out somehow. But I would expect number 31 car onto the pit lane this time.
Yeah, I agree. He's done 30 laps, and I don't think any Cadillac has done more than 30 laps of full green running. It's only really the Mazdas who've got over that in full green running in the DPI spec. That's going to leave him maybe a couple of laps short without any green for Felipe
Look
Nasser.
At that lap time for our race leader, Ricky Taylor, has just heard his best lap of the race. Conor DeFilippi has just responded his best lap of the race in the leading BMW GTLM, 1:17.6 for car number 25.
Don't forget, hashtag Michelin PRT to at IMSA Radio. Well, we've got plenty of things to talk about here. I hope it's all going to be positive. We've seen a little bit of questionable driving from some of the DPI drivers. They've been a little impatient. I'd agree with that if somebody brings that up. But this has been tremendous entertainment from start to finish. And that big, long green flag run in the middle where we had 2 hours and 45 minutes of racing that was unencumbered by full course yellows. And as much as I love the C8 safety car, it was nice to have it parked in the pit lane for the sharp end of 3 hours. And my goodness, wasn't that interesting to see how the relative pace of drivers and teams and the tactics and the double stinting of the tyres for those who needed to do it. Meantime, at the front of GT Le Mans, Tommy Milner is trying to get somewhere close to Conor DeFilippi. And Shea Adam, there's a good reason for Tommy Milner wanting to win. A, because he's a racing driver and he always wants to win. But here at Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta,
there are only two tracks on the schedule where Tommy Milner and Ollie Gavin have not won as a duo, and this is one of them. So knocking that off the list today would be a huge accomplishment for both drivers. Into the pit lane comes the number 31 Whelen Engineering Cadillac. Felipe Nasser staying aboard, and why would you take him out? They are doing four new Michelin tires. I mean, they do have Pipo Durrani and Felipe Albuquerque to choose between, but still. And a windshield tear off. That is nice for Felipe. He'll be able to see well out there. Car comes off the air jacks now, waiting on the fuel, and that is the determining factor. They want to get every single drop in. 29, 30, 31, go. Perfect.
Need every drop of that VP Racing fuel. 38 minutes and 6 seconds was his last stint, and he needs to do pretty much that exactly again. Yeah. If the leader goes across the line at the wrong time, there could be a bit of a cough and a splutter there. But that was the first 32 lap stint, 32. Yes, as he crossed the line. That's two laps longer than that car's gone at any other time in the race. So that was a good effort from Nasser, but that's going to cost him pace, Jeremy.
Well, it did cost him a little bit of pace, but he didn't lose any ground to anybody. So he's done an absolute magnificent job. I reckon he's got a little bit less time to go to the end of the race from here than he meant on that last stint. So, he's doing absolutely everything he can. He went to 39 minutes on that last stint. He's got about 37 to go, so he's done a really fantastic job to keep that car in contention. So down now, but we're now seeing the other leaders making their final pit stops.
This is interesting. This is Ticknell trying to go for the what they call in Formula One the undercut. He's going to put a brand new set of tyres on here. He could have gone a couple or three more laps in the 55 Mazda, but what he's trying to do here is get the performance potential of those new Michelin tyres on that car, and I don't think they'll need quite a full tank of fuel here for the number 55 either.
Oh yes they will, John. 35 minutes to go. It's absolutely be brimful on that number 55 car to get to the end.
Waiting for the fuel to come out. Starts to rev. There he goes. Right, 35 minutes to go. And the best that they have run in full green conditions is about 36 minutes. So, yeah, you're not far wrong there, Jeremy.
Laps.
Yeah.
You know, 31 laps the most that car has done. So here's our race 7 car into the pits, number 6 and number 10. Will they follow him in? Number 10 car might be able to settle in a little bit longer if he wants to.
Driver change on the 6 car, on the 7 car rather. Ricky Taylor getting out of that. That's interesting. And computer's predicting 27 laps to go, so that's no issue at all then for the Mazda, if that is correct. Out goes the Acura.
Well, it's a full stint, that's for sure.
Yeah. And the question will be, what was the outlap for Tinks? The in-lap and the outlap. Has he taken any time, any more time? Montoya has stayed out. Shea Adam with an interesting statistic about the DPI class in the races we've had this year.
We've had four races for the DPI category so far in 2019. It's 2020, oh my goodness, sorry, I was starting to time travel there, willing myself back in time. The 10 was the victor at Daytona. It was the 55 that won the second race at Daytona in the summer, the 31 that won the race at Sebring in July, and then the 7 that won the race at Road America a few weeks ago, no repeat winner. Well, all four of those cars right now stand in good contention to break the streak, whereas the 6 car looks pretty good to keep it going.
Yeah, very
or
good.
Or did.
Uh-oh.
Major damage coming into the pit lane for Juan Pablo Montoya. The left rear bodywork is actually wedged up into the tire. I wonder if he got rear-ended by someone else coming into the pit lane, or if that was contact. That looks like somebody else's nose wedged up under there.
Was it the number 10 car? Because the number 10 was right behind him, Shay.
It was, Jeremy. It was. Very good call. The glossy black Cadillac now has
And it's got damage on the nose. It's got damage. I would say that was a clue. I'm not sure we could totally convict him from that, but the evidence looks strong. There's a piece of... there's a piece of Acura in the nose of the number 10 Cadillac. That's the conviction right there.
Oops.
Oh, my goodness.
It was probably GPM... coming down into the pit lane, I would guess, as they were on the brakes coming down to get down to the pit lane speed limit. That would be my guess.
I reckon Tinknell leads the race at the moment.
No, I think number 7 car does.
Absolutely right. Oh my goodness, that was a big hit.
Lead change, 250 laps it would be completed next time around. That would be our 21st official lead change. Yes, it was. There you go, coming down into the pit lane. And that's a big mistake for car number 10. That's a very costly mistake because he's going to get a penalty for that.
So
I would imagine
on the brakes, Montoya. Well. Montoya started braking a long way out and then was still braking after the pylons, which was odd. So not sure of that. And we're only seeing some of what race control will be able to see. It's very unusual that the person behind isn't the one that's given incident responsibility for running up the back. Think of, driving into someone at a traffic light or a roundabout, it's normally your fault. However, if race control thinks there are extenuating circumstances, I wonder if they had the speed gun on him when he came through there and he was speeding and then jammed the anchors on a second time. It was a bit odd at how he braked for that, but still and all, he was the guy in front and the guy behind still got to avoid him. And bit of a mistake there for Ryan Briscoe. But I mean, we're talking two very, very experienced drivers, Jeremy. But we're also talking the last 30 minutes of a motor race where they're in contention and strange things happen.
No question about it, you're right. It was a heavy hit, wasn't it? For goodness gracious me, it wasn't even close. There was, three or four car lengths between them coming down the hill to the speed zone. And then all of a sudden, slam in the back, gets hit Montoya. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see if you've got some sort of explanation for that.
Castro Neves versus Tinknell at the front of the field. It's down under 7.5 seconds as Harry took 1.6 seconds out of the leader on the last time around. The pit stops are done. We are under half an hour to go here at Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta. John Hynoff and Jeremy Shaw in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre. Shea Adam, our VP Racing Fuels pit lane reporter, drive through for the number 10. And that is a big, big issue for that car, Shea Adam, in Michelin Endurance Cup points.
They lead the way after the first hour mark, the third hour, they had a 5-point gap maintained over the five car. But doing a drive-through when the five car is one position behind you means that they're going to be finishing 1 point better than you, and the gap's going to start to come down. With two endurance races to go, that's not what they wanted.
More costly in the overall championship.
Yes.
Because they came in here with a 6-point lead over Joao Barbosa and Sebastian Bourdais, and the number 10 car was ahead of the number 5 coming into this final round of pit stops. Now they're going to fall several places behind them with this extra pit stop. They might still lead potentially, but the advantage is going to be very much reduced with that error.
Point being made by John Mayer. Hello, John. He says, hang on a minute. If the 10 hit the 7 after the cone, surely the 10 must have been speeding. If it was beforehand, different matter. That's a very good point there, but it's been decided the number 10 Cadillac is going to take the drive through, and it's going to be costly. Simon Trummer makes his final pit stop en route to what should be the victory. Well, will be the victory now for PR1. Matheson Motorsport, having put the fastest lap of the race in for LMP2 at a cracking 1:10.870. And bear in mind, by the way, that the fastest DPI lap is a 1:09.6, so just over a second quicker. And the P2's been slowed down quite measurably in the last season or so. It's down to 5.6 seconds, Jeremy. Play the Jaws music here. There's a certain sense of inevitability about this, but what sort of tyre quality is Tinks going to have when he catches Castroneves? Castroneves might be playing the long game. We mentioned that with Tandy earlier on. Castroneves might be doing the same thing.
Each of the last four laps, the deficit from first to second has come down by 3/4 of a second or 8/10 of a second. So if you can keep that trend going, this is far from over, isn't it? What, 27 minutes remaining? So it's a long way to go in this race. The number 7 car made its final pits of a lap after the number 55, so should be a little bit better off in terms of fuel consumption, but we don't believe either of them should have any difficulty in getting to the end. Although it's certainly, like I say, it'll be more difficult for number 55 than the number 7.
They've generally in green flag running got an extra lap, and they're only one lap behind. So I think it's pretty much even Stevens for those two. I think the tyre wear is going to be the bigger issue for both of those guys in terms of what they've got left. Briscoe is going to be out of the fight as he comes in, which will promote Tristan Vautier and the number 5 Mustang sampling Cadillac up into third position. And that is about to has happened now. Through goes Montoya into fourth. And Ryan Briscoe comes out behind Felipe Nasr, who makes up another position in the 31.
Yeah, and he's charging along now and trying to catch up with what Pablo Montoya's car. Surprisingly, Montoya's still turning pretty good lap times. I think they changed the tail section, presumably, on that number 6 car. So he's still running some pretty good laps and really not losing out to Sebastian. Tristan Vautier is now back in the wheel, number 5 car. Which also, bit of a coup, isn't it, for Tristan Vautier to be asked to do the final stint in that number 5 car.
And he's doing a very good job indeed. A 1:10.7 last time around. He's really, really good. He's been sensible in traffic, Jeremy, and when he's got open roads, he's been able to lap pretty much as quick. I mean, that's less than 3/4 of a second away from that car's fastest lap on the race that Tristan did last time around. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for the deviation between the fastest time and what you can regularly do. That's the key to being good in endurance racing. And Vautier, I think, has put a pretty good shift in today. Really do.
Yes, he has, and he and Sebastian Bourdais have been charging on. Bourdais has got the fastest lap in that car at a 1:10.0, but Tristan Vautier is falling back, certainly from Harry Ticknell in the second position, but not by very much. Actually, the gap's remaining fairly constant between those two, around about half a minute. The gap between first and second, though, is down now to 5.1 seconds.
Yeah. Harry has been slapped around bad things have been said about his family, and he's been fed raw meat before this final stint, and he is off in hot pursuit. Pretty even Stevens last time around between Castroneves and Tinknell. Castroneves picking up his pace just a wee bit. But again, you know, look at the fastest time that Harry's car's put in the race, a 110 flat, and he's turning 110 sevens, sixes and fives, nine last time around, 109.7 for the Castroneves car. He's on a 110.9. So they're not hanging about here, Jeremy. I think they know that the race is on here. Both of them must know that. Very, very good indeed at the front of the field. And Nasser is gaining. He didn't last time around. Back out to 3.9 seconds on Montoya for fourth position. But Vautier comfortably at the moment holding his own against Tristan Vautier. Generally speaking, Tristan Vautier about 4 seconds ahead of Juan Montoya at the moment. Now, we haven't spoken about GTD for a while. Farmbackers lead to Sellers and Pat Long still just under 10 seconds, and still Pat Long and Sellers third and second in respective terms there, are separated by under half a second as they come through the final corner. In GT Le Mans, BMW by 2.6 seconds. Conor DeFilippi, what a race they've won. Run quietly. Lost the right-hand rear-view mirror, of course, from the door early on with a bit of a side swipe from, I think it was Harry Tinknell, actually, if I remember rightly. Then Jesse Kroon's only another 8 seconds further back. Nick Tandy starting to pick up his pace a little bit, but he's dropped, I think, a little bit too far back. They had the pace earlier on, but with the track temperature dropping, that Porsche has not been as good in the final stint as it was earlier on. 2.7 seconds the gap, and Garcia is only 1.8 seconds behind Tandy at the moment. So that one still interesting. Well, Tommy Miller turns up the wick, puts in the fastest first sector of any GT Le Mans car. He's not letting Conor DeFilippi have any rest at all. What a great race that's been. What a great qualifying it was. And Jeremy Shaw, that's translated into a great race for GTLM.
Yeah, hasn't it? Just a tremendous battle. We anticipated it, of course, having seen qualifying yesterday, where the top five cars were covered by less than a tenth of a second. And that's exactly what we're seeing now in Team RLL. They've called the strategy just right. They've got DeFilippi out in the lead of this race, and it's up to him to hold on to it. You can see, though, the gap back to Tommy Milner is not very far. 2.8 seconds it was last time around. That's pretty much stayed pretty much constant since the final round of pit stops. It's 2.5, 2.8. It went as much as 3 seconds, but DeFilippi is doing a super job to maintain that gap, even though Tommy Milner has turned the fastest lap of the race in the class.
Final pit stop, which I'm not sure was actually needed. No, it might have been just about for PR1 Matheson. Shea Adam was watching the stop, and a nice gesture from PR1 Matheson Motorsport.
They put their starting driver back in the car, so Mr. Kelly getting another opportunity to drive and bring it home to the checker to get a win, because right now the car in second is 32 laps back, and we do not have time for 32 more laps, which means that not only will he get the win, he'll also get the LMP2 points lead. Very cool gesture.
Phil Wayne, listening and watching.
Yeah, as well, by the way.
Oh, yes, it was. Yes, well, I remember.
Patrick Kelly's birthday yesterday, so good birthday present for him all around.
Hello to Phil Wayne, who's absolutely on the edge of his seat at the moment, and Emma and Ewan watching IMSA from the sofa in Nottingham instead of the what should have been, of course, the WC and ELMS weekend at Silverstone this weekend, shouldn't it? Yes, it should have been. So apologies for those of you who didn't get to see sports car racing in the UK, particularly if you were going to be there. Hope this has been an adequate substitute. I think it has, really. 6 hours where we've pretty much been on the edge of our seat. I think I sat down once, and that was by accident when I stepped into the chair and fell into it, to be honest. Still here, still watching. still waiting for something to happen, and still only 5.6 seconds, now 6.3 seconds at the head of the field, Castro Neves to Tinknell. Nothing in this, Jeremy. A gaggle of cars, a little miss, a drop of a Michelin tyre onto the grass, and this could be all on again.
Yeah, and it's very much on for third position, because all of a sudden Tristan Vergier has been caught
by
Pablo Montoya, and also Felipe Nasr is right there as well. So third, fourth and fifth are pretty much nose to tail on the track as we speak.
Yeah, a 1:13.0 last time from Vautier. Now, I'm sure he can't have any worries about fuel. He's been out there 12 laps, 14 minutes. And he's got 28. Ooh, I don't know. That's going to take him to 35, 36 minutes if we have to go. And he doesn't get lapped again. So maybe there is an element of fuel saving there by 48. And what does that mean for everybody else? Now, he was
in. They're all in trouble in that case, because I think they're all good to go, John. I really do. I think the number 31 car is the only guy that's really, really stretched. And I think everybody else should be fine. And it's just the pace now that Montoya has found in that number 6 car to be able to track down Tristan Vautier.
36.
There they go. 1, 2, 3 across the line. 3, 4, 5.
The 25 BMW that leads GTLM is going to be on fumes when it crosses the line. It really is. He's 3 laps worse off than the Corvette behind him, 1 lap worse off than his teammate, and 1 lap worse off than the best and most fuel efficient car in terms of the stats in this race, which is the Porsche 911 of Nick Tandy. So they are absolutely on fumes, that 25 car leading Conor DeFilippi. He's going to have to do almost exactly an hour. It's all going to be where the leader is at the end of the race and whether they've got to do an extra lap. As Jeremy said, in the race at the front of the field, we have the 5 dark grey Mustang sampling, Tristan Vautier Cadillac, Juan Montoya in the Acura Team Penske number 6, and Felipe Nasr in the red and white Whelan Engineering Cadillac, together through 10B under the Fox Factory Bridge and around to complete another lap. And they are absolutely together, tied together with an invisible but fairly short bungee cord between the three of them down towards turn 1, with traffic ahead of them that could tilt this either way at any of the 3 ways. Porsche ahead of them is, I think, Nick Tandy has just crossed the line, and Nick will be trying to run his own race. Sure, they've got their numbers right. Here they come through the S's, through turn 5, excuse me, as they manage to get past him on the run down to turn 6. And now this is interesting, Jeremy, coming through turn 7. The car at the back's going to get a heck of a draft, and that's Felipe Nasr. Will he get the draft? They're trying it. The Cadillacs are quick. Nasr waits till the very last minute before going to the right of the BMW. And that was indeed Nick Tandy closing in on the SE Crone all of a sudden. Under 2 seconds there.
Did number 3 car just make a pit stop?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, they had a tire that was going down, Jeremy, and they had to make an emergency pit stop. But they will leave this race, no matter where they finish, still in the points lead of GTLM.
Yeah, okay. Because all of a sudden he was only a second or so behind the number 911 car, which is now pretty much caught up with number 24 BMW. All of a sudden that gap has ballooned out, so an extra pit stop for number 3. So today, unlike the previous few races, nothing seems to have gone their way.
It's a podium on for Tandy here, I reckon. We were saying we were just speculating on whether at the start of the stint Tandy was taking it easy on the final set of new Michelins and what tyre performance he might have in the closing stages of the race. Well, looking at what 10, 11 or 12 laps left for those guys in the last 15 minutes, and Tandy all of a sudden is finding pace, and he's right with now Jesse Kron, under 2 seconds now. Still at the head of the field, though, Conor DeFilippi by nearly 3 seconds. Did a 79. He is the quickest GT Le Mans car. He's already done 30 laps. 10 more laps for him. If that gets him to the end, that's going to be about as much as he can do, I reckon. Still tight. I still think this is tighter than people are working out. Meantime in GT Daytona, 7.5 seconds, 7.6 seconds between Farnbacher, Sellers, and then Long, still half a second. Patrick Long will know the part number on the rear wing of that Lamborghini by now. He'll know it off by heart.
Well, he could compare notes with Jan Haller because he did exactly the same in the previous stint as well. Look at this side by side.
Battle for the third position. And this is a bit of a rear guard action now from Fortier, from Montoya. And Philippe Nasr has just dropped back a little bit, got caught out in the traffic. They're on the back straight again. Oh, man. Do you know, Jeremy and I remember endurance racing when five laps was a close race after a 1,000 kilometre or 6-hour race, which is effectively what we're looking at now, isn't it? A 6-hour race here at Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta. And we are looking at the moment under a minute between the top six, all on the same lap.
Yeah, it's great. Really cool. This little battle just went past the GTLM leader, Colin DeFilippi. Again, making sure he didn't lose any ground to Tommy Milner in the process. Actually, he's extended his lead a little bit over the last couple of laps. So now 4 seconds between first and second in GTLM. It's about as much as been all the way through races. And off course.
Whoa! Oh, right in front of the leader. So now he's hit the Acura. Oh, my goodness. That's the WeatherTech car. This is a full course caution. Out goes Montoya. That car is done. And the Tony Wielander, a very unusual mistake from the Finnish driver in fifth position in his class. Montoya has hit the wall. He's moving around. Full course yellow. That's going to take some clearing up. And we might finish under yellow here at Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta. Oh, Tony, what happened? Just went off through the S's, and on trying to hold on to it, didn't want to put too many control inputs in, as we saw earlier on, had to rejoin, couldn't do much else, couldn't slam the brakes on, and it was side by side between Fortier and Montoya. By the way, Nasr got through in all of that. It was three cars into a space where really there wasn't room for two, and Fortier went wide at turn five. Although he wasn't involved in that, he'd been offline the corner before trying to defend. And, well, maybe there was just a little touch on the back of Fortier's car as the Acura spun, and NASA's gone through into third position for Whelan Engineering.
Just ran off the road, didn't he? That's curious. He must have had some sort of a problem.
They're all very unlucky there. Very unlucky indeed. Tony finishes up at turn five in the middle of the road and pulls away. And that lightest of touches on the left quarter panel that spun that Acura around. But what we were talking about earlier on, Jeremy, down through the S's, you are on the ragged edge. And frankly, it takes nothing at all to unsettle the car, because the car's already floating through there. It wasn't as if the Ferrari really nailed the back of that car. It was a bit of a rub, yes. It was a hit, certainly. But my goodness, you see how much they're on the ragged edge when you see the consequence of that little bit of rubbing. And that was a bit of unprotected wall that was hit by the Acura. And the 74 actually did a good job. Aschenbach did a good job of missing a completely helpless at that stage Tony Wielander at turn five.
Yeah, true.
I will tell you, by the way, that I can see Juan Montoya has opened the door himself. He's unfastened the belt himself, and now he's getting out himself as well. So, again, good news there. Now, safety five is down there. I wonder if they might be able to drag that into the gap at turn five and get us underway. We've still got 10 minutes to go. They're taking up the slack on the strap at the moment. Well, if we can get going again, Jeremy, all bets are off in all classes, because Tinknell's already right up behind Castro Neves, of course, under the safety car, as Juan Montoya walks away, arms akimbo, saying, "What happened?" Very unlucky on his part.
Yeah, and all the replays seem to be just after the incident kind of took place, really, didn't they? Which was unfortunate. The initial incident that caused Wielander to run off the road.
Yeah, as you said, it looked like from the onboard that Wielander just drove off.
Yeah, which doesn't sound very likely, does it? So no, maybe he got some assistance.
Not at all. So either he got some assistance or he had a problem.
Because, I mean, where he ran off the road there, you know, the really tricky part of the S is already done at that stage. So I'm wondering whether number 63 car got an assist to push it off track in the first place. And then after that, you know, he was completely out of control. But again, that's, again, conjecture, because I don't think we saw that part of the incident.
Ah, well, we're not now going to tour the Acura off, so I think they're waiting for a rollback, which is going to, I think that will, that makes it very unlikely we're going back to green, I'm afraid. Right Turn Lover asking, and I don't know the answer to this, RTL, but thank you for tweeting from Central Europe to at IMSA Radio. Did the 5 car, Vautier, actually touch the 63 in the first place and set off the chain of events?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's exactly the question.
Yeah. Can't tell you there, RTL, because we, like you, have not seen any other pictures to suggest that. But it was a very odd one. I was rather hoping they were just going to tour that Acura off to the cutout on the right-hand side there and get it out of the way. Let's have another go at trying to decipher what happened here. Again, it's the end of the incident. No. We're seeing on replay, and thanks to our colleagues at NASCAR for doing a grand job, by the way, on a very busy weekend for them.
Oh, here we go. Here's the one. Oh. Before that.
I think there was a tap. I think there was a tap on the back of the 63. I really do. Montoya, from Montoya's point of view, he sees Vautier getting held up by the 63 and sees an opportunity to gain the 63. Yeah, there was definitely a touch because there was a little dab of the brakes as well. I think there was a touch there. It's going to be hard to convict Vautier on the evidence we've seen, but my goodness me, you can't fault Montoya there. He saw an opportunity to take that position and tried for the gap, and in going for the gap, was hit by the rejoining 63. But I'm pretty certain that Wielander had been helped off the circuit there, Jeremy. I'm going to go with that. And it almost looked like that Vautier as well was just trying to survive at that point and keep the Acura, which was had loads more momentum behind him, because he couldn't know that the Ferrari was coming back on.
No, he wouldn't have seen that, you're right.
No, I the more I've seen that now, particularly from the forward-facing onboard, with the little, there was a little stutter in the camera. I think Tony Wielander got a little touch, minor touch from Vautier, but that's all it needs to unsettle the car down there. Not sure that'll get called, because it's fairly difficult to be certain on that. Although there are observers and marshals around the track as well. It doesn't have to be video evidence. So out again. DPI class split is happening.
They'll have the class bit. So what that means, the class bit for those non-regular fans, is that all the cars will be able to, in DPI, the cars that are on the lead lap will be able to move ahead of all the GT cars back into the train behind the race leaders. So number 7, 55, 31, 5 and 10 will be nose to tail for the restart. Stand back. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen with the other categories, which is a bit of a shame.
I know. Stand by.
Apart from Corvette.
We're going to have about a four-minute dash to the end, which that's probably three or four laps to get underway. They're going to have to get a wiggle on with that Ferrari if we're going back to green. Now the lights have come back on again. There'll be one more. Well, fair play to race control trying to get that one going. Hello to Marino Franchitti, who's watching and listening on IMSA Radio and IMSA TV. Hello, Mino. Hope you're well, you and the family. Lights are back on the Corvette safety car. The last lap was 2:43. We might still get it. It's the Ferrari that's taking the time to get cleared, apparently. So we might still get a green, white checker. This could end badly. Where's the first GT car in line?
I kind of hope we don't, to be honest.
Well, Harry Tinknell's not going to hold back, is he? Neither is Philippe Nasse, neither is Tristan Fortier, who at the moment must have a bit of a question mark hanging over him. Well, I've not seen anything to say that that's being looked at the moment, but it must be being questioned at the moment. I'm sure they're spooling backwards and forwards on all the replays. Philippe, Conor de Philippe, Milnet, Krohn, Nick Tandy with better tyres. I mean, it's taken all the worries out about fuel consumption that we had at the front of the GT Le Mans field. Sellers, yeah. Farnbacher, Long, Aschenbach.
And in DPI as well. Remember, number 31 car was struggling to make it to the end. And you know, it was running in sixth position, pretty much a distant sixth position. All of a sudden, though, the number 31 car is in third position with last year's Moto Petit Le Mans winner Philippe Nasr at the wheel. Pole sitter, fastest lap, a full sweep 1 year ago, or almost 1 year ago.
A lot of people on Twitter pointing the finger at the number five car. In the court of public opinion, I'm afraid Fortier has been convicted and sentenced as well. 2 minutes to go. Safety car lights are out again, so we're going to give it a go. Pits are closed, so we are, I think, going back to green for it'll be two laps. If we can get this off within the next 20 seconds, we might get one more lap after we've gone green. The safety car's taken off. Yeah, we will. I don't think we're going to see the white flag this time around, so it'll be a two lap dash. Keep an eye on the starter stand. But at 109s, we shouldn't have the white flag this time around. Castroneves is on the power. So is Tinknell, and in there as well, but off the pace, of course. There's another Mazda that it pulls out. I didn't see the white flag. No, just the green. So it will be white flag next time around. 5 miles of racing to decide the TireRack.com Grand Prix at Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta. Not a bad start by Harry Tinknell. But a good one by Castroneves down through, a little wiggle down through the first part of the S's by the leading Acura. And Harry Tinknell's seen that. He'll be slightly excited, I'm sure, if there's problems with the rear tyres coming up to temp and pressure on the Acura. Halfway around the lap. White flag next time around. Turn seven.
Run onto the back straight there for race leader Helio Castroneves. That was a great run he got off the corner, a big launch, and he's leapt clear now of Harry Tinknell. There's no way Harry Tinknell is going to get close enough to make a move into the turn 10 chicane.
No mistakes at the braking area for turn 10 for Castroneves, and I reckon he's just about home and dry here. Third place for the number 31 Philippe Nasse. Ryan Briscoe still trying to make a position as well after his drive through late on as well, don't forget, in that strange incident at the pit lane speed pylon. 2.5 miles to go at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta for the 6 hour race. What a contest this has been in all classes. De Filippi, Milner, Krohn, Tandy, as quick as you like. A great restart by Conor De Filippi has taken him clear in GT Le Mans. Farnbacher has got Sellers where he wants him, a couple of seconds behind, and Sellers ahead of Long in GTD. So it's the front of the field we've got to look at. Onto the back straight again. No mistakes from Elio Castro. Isn't he the perfect person that you want in the car for a two-lap, five-mile dash for the top step of the podium? Mazda are going to come up a tiny bit short on this one, but Tignall is giving it his all. Two corners to go through turn 10B under the Fox Factory Bridge, and it will be Acura Team Penske who take the 6 hours at Michelin Raceway. Road Atlanta, Mazda in second, Cadillac third, three manufacturers. Well, what a race that was, even without it being closed up at the end. And after desperation early on from Elio with two penalties that took him a lap off the lead, he was distraught behind the wheel. He's ecstatic now. BMW, brake Corvette stranglehold since we came back after the COVID break. And it's the 25 Team RLL car that win it. What a last few weeks it's been for Team RLL. Milner for Corvette number four comes home in second. And the second BMW Team RLL M8 GTE, Jesse Cron finishes that up and pushes that car into third position. Tandy will be disappointed again. He and Fred McAvenghi looked like they had that race going into the final pit stops, but in the event they end up fourth. In GTD, Acura and Meyer Shank racing the 86 car from Paul Miller Racing's Lamborghini in second. And then Pat Long did close to within half a second again for Wright Motorsport. Three different manufacturers on the podium in GTD, with Mercedes-Benz in fourth position fifth for Lexus, sixth for Heart of Racing and Aston Martin. So six different manufacturers in the top half dozen. And congratulations to Patrick Kelly and the PR1 Bathurst Motorsport team. Fastest lap of the race as well for Simon Trummer in that race car for LMP2. But a 10-8 for a P2 car, strangled P2 car at that. That's quick. Seventh overall for that car. Problems early on for the 85 Stephen Simpson JDC Miller Motorsports car. Got tangled up with the Aero Motorsport car after the number 6 Acura had been spun around early on. Eventually that car had to stop, the 85 that is. The Magnus car had problems as well, did not make the trip. And Turner Motorsport with braking problems. Those are the three non-finishers from that part. Tony Wielander did not finish, of course, although still scored ninth at the moment in GTD. And Montoya, with that accident at the end, scored in sixth in DPI. Jeremy Shaw, you imagine you're doing your report for a well-known weekly magazine. You've got 500 words, except you haven't. Yeah. Give me that in a couple of sentences. I mean, that was brilliant.
I haven't heard from him lately. It was a fantastic motor race, absolutely superb. Well done, Elio Castroneves and Ricky Taylor. They started on pole position, second win in succession, of course, for this pairing. Nothing seemed to have gone right for Acura Team Penske at the beginning of the season. Then we hear that the programme is falling away. Since then, won two races in succession. That was a great performance for both of these two. Hats off also to Mazda Motorsports and a good run for Harry Tignall in that number 55 car, bring it home in second place with Jonathan Bomarito and Ryan Hunter-Reay. And the other two classes, just tremendous racing.
And an extraordinary double for Acura, winning both the top class and GTD. Shea Adam, I think that's a first, isn't it?
It's the first time that's ever happened, yes. And that is a huge accomplishment for everyone involved with HPD and the Acura program.
Well, that's a very happy Elio Castro Neves there. Oh, dear, mate. What a race. What a race. Can't even begin to think about putting that into context. Let's have your thoughts, please. Hashtag Michelin PRT at IMSA Radio. Thanks for staying with us into late in a Saturday evening in Europe. 10:45 in the UK. Hour after that in the US. Our thanks, by the way, before we lose you on the PA, thanks Dave Miller and the rest of the team at the Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta, to all the IMSA team, thank you. A big thank you down through the years for all his hard work, particularly helping us out on the radio, to Ron Parker, for whom this is his last IMSA race weekend. Ron, best of luck in whatever you do in the future. And to our colleagues at NASCAR Productions over in Charlotte for brilliant pictures today. Love the heli shots. And we saw every part of the track. Thank you. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow with two challenge races and, of course, the four-hour Michelin Pilot Challenge. Let's just take a breath for a moment and take in what we've seen. But it is a win for Elio Castroneves. Jeremy will be working out the points even as we speak. How are you doing there, Jeremy? Can we do some unofficial points for DPI?
Yeah, overall in DPI, 150 points now for Ryan Briscoe and Renger van der Zende. They will continue to lead then, now by 4 points over João Barbosa and Sebastian Bourdais on 146. 145 for Pipo Derani, not to Felipe Nasr, of course, because he missed a race due to having COVID-19. And then 1 point behind them are Bomarito and Tinknell on 144, so super tight. In DPI. In LMP2, of course, Patrick Kelly will now take a clear lead in the championship. In GTLM, the number three Corvette will still lead pretty handily, but it's certainly tightening up behind them. Haven't got to GTD yet, but in the if we've got time for the Michelin Endurance Cup,
yes, please.
In the overall category, the Konica Minolta team stretches its lead, maintains its lead. 23 points now to the 18 of the Mustang sampling race in car number 5. And the Mazda team, Yost, also moves equal with them on 18 points as well, 5 points behind. In GTLM, the BMW team RLL came in with a 1 point lead. Now we have a 4 point lead, 25 points for number 24 car, 21 for the number 912 Porsche, and 20 for the number 911 Porsche. In GTD, once again, Paul Miller Racing will extend its lead, came in with a 3 point edge over GRT Magnus. It now has, 8 points lead for the number 48 team ahead of the number 19 team, which will remain in second place halfway through the four races of the Michelin Endurance Cup.
Few and few again. What a Saturday race here for the TireRack.com Grand Prix at Michelin Raceway Road, Atlanta. And it's not the end of the weekend. For those of you at the track, it's not even the end of the action today, with Pilot Challenge qualifying coming up and a four-hour Pilot race tomorrow, along with another Lamborghini and another Porsche race. We'll have all the racing from tomorrow for you. For the moment, we'll release the PA back to our colleagues at the Victory Circle area with our great thanks. And we'll continue on IMSA Radio RS2 with Michelin Post Race Tech, which starts right now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.